Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing on the virtues of Salat. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من امرئ مسلم تحضره صلاة مكتوبة فيحسن وضوءها وخشوعها وركوعها إلا كانت كفارة لما قبلها من الذنوب ما لم تؤت كبيرة وذلك الدهر كله وذلك الدهر كله رواه مسلم. As Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that every time a farz salah comes in and a Muslim, he makes his wuzu properly and he performs his salah with the due submission and humility and he performs his ruku correctly, this becomes a means of expiating or forgiveness of his sins done before that salat. So long as a person hasn't committed any major sins before that, and then he says, وَذَلِكَ الدَّهْرَ كُلُّ. This is a perpetual principle, a perpetual policy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qaida as we refer it to, that this continues right up till the day of Qiyamah. In other words, when a person performs his salah correctly, his farz salah correctly, he takes into account the prerequisites of salah. One is wuzu that becomes before salah. He's careful that his wuzu is done correctly. Similarly, a person is careful of those things that are inside salah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated by referring to the khushu and the ruku. Khushu would refer to the internal aspects of salat. In other words, this person humbly submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Internally, his mind is there. His focus is there in salat. It's not such that this person is in salat and his mind is outside salat. His heart is outside salat. Sometimes it happens such, a person is watching a football match, Premier League match, and now it happens, salah time comes, he quickly rushes to the masjid. How can his mind ever be in the salah when he's rushing from the soccer match? He's not sure what the score is, what when he goes back, whether the game will be over, who won, who lost. So this is not what is meant by khushu. Khushu means that his heart is there, his soul is there, his mind is there, everything is there physically present in salat. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. And his postures also are correct. The postures of salat should be there, the postures of salat should be maintained. Now this type of salat, where all this is maintained, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining, it expiates, it wipes out all the gunas that are committed before that. So long as a person hasn't committed any major guna, yesterday we explained that when it comes to the major guna, then it comes to two types of gunas. One is rukukul ibad, then a person has to go and sort it out with that person that he has did down as far as his rights are concerned. And one is with regards to hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person should make up for it by making tawbah, etc. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that this qaida continues perpetually. The person doesn't lose hope in Islam, that so many namaz I didn't read like this, I didn't do it correctly, I didn't do it properly. He still got a chance, it doesn't matter what's his age, he still got that opportunity. And we mentioned before, salat has the ability of giving a person like a complete auto-veiling, car wash. A person should believe that when I'm coming to the masjid, such a beautiful example Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, like a river that is flowing by the person's doorstep. And every time he's performing his salat, he's taking a bath in the river. So it's like a person washing himself, washing all his gunas out, how can there ever be any sin that is remaining? A person has to go to a car wash every time, it's to be 50 rand, 100 rand. So much of time goes, yeah, he's coming and he's performing salah. Allah Pak is giving him that inner satisfaction. And simultaneously, that car wash is taking place, that wash of his guna is taking place. This person is leaving without any gunas. He should have that yakin. And a person is so happy to come for salah, he's realizing that for free, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is removing all this dirt. A person won't go with any dirt on his clothing, with dirt on his shoes. Sometimes the person is going to work and he happens to trample on some droppings of a dog. And a person will wipe his shoes, he'll ensure that he doesn't jump into his car like that. And even if a person, after wiping his shoes, he gets a little bit of smell, he's not comfortable, he'll go back to the house, he'll take a new pair of shoes, and he'll get maybe the maid to clean that shoe, or he'll ensure that shoe is clean, but he won't use that particular shoe, he'll take another shoe and go. Then our hearts are dirty with gunah. How can we ever move around? The awliya Allah, they can actually perceive that heart that is full of dirt and sin and grime. Therefore, salah is a very, very good way of a person removing his guna and sins. One more thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed this. comes in the ayat of the Quran, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. When it came to the ulama of the Bani Israel, more than anyone, they knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was al-haq. They knew that Islam was correct. In fact, even the ulama up till now, there was one brother sitting opposite here in the old age home. His name was Jamaluddin. Many people would know him. He passed away now, rahmatullah alayhi. Allah Pak fill his qabr with noor. He was very, very, very well versed in the Torah. His mother was a Jew, and he grew up in a very orthodox Jewish community coming from Canada. He spent time also in the Vatican, because his father was a Christian, so he was well versed in multi-religions. So he was explaining that even up till now, the ulama of the Jews, they know exactly that Islam is correct. To such an extent, when that one delegation had come down from Israel, and he went and he approached those, and he spoke to those rabbis, and he told them that you people know exactly, 100% you people know that Islam is correct. All you need to do is just accept. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that they had two sicknesses, and the sicknesses are unfortunately even affecting us. Two sicknesses that they had was the love for position. If we had to accept Islam, that this position we've got as the leaders, as the rabbis, we lose this position, what is known as hubbe jah. And the other thing is that hubbe mal. Now together with the position comes a lot of perks. So they would lose that position and they'd lose their perks. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a prescription. The doctor, for example, a patient has got ulcers, and the doctor won't give a prescription for falling hair. He'll give the prescription for the ulcers. Although that person may have some problem with falling hair, but at that time he needs to treat the ulcers. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a treatment that will treat this hubbeja and the love for wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Addressing them and also addressing us, that seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance with sabr and salah. Now one might think, what is the relationship between the love of position and the love of wealth with salah and sabr? Like how sabr, when a person is tempted to do some haram, something that is completely haram, he's tempted, he makes sabr at that opportunity, at that moment, he restrains himself from haram. This is what sabr does, this is the potential that sabr has. It creates a control in a person from haram. And when salah comes, salah creates a control for a person, even if halal. You know, an example, a person might be reading salah on the mountaintop. In front of him can be the best view, the view of the ocean, the view of the trees, the view of the mountains, the view of the animals. But the moment he says Allahu Akbar, now there has to be control of that eyes. Now he's got his friends next to him, he's got his family there. He can't listen to what they are talking. He can't listen to them. Now he has to focus on his salah, so he creates control of the ears. Now he may have his best friend there that he would like to talk to. In salah he can't talk to his best friend. Outside salah it was totally permissible for him to talk to his friend. Now it is not permissible. So like that, the eyes are going through training, the ears are going through training, the tongue is going through training, he can't talk to who he wants to. So like that, every part of the body now is going through some type of training. The heart also has to be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore salah creates a person, it creates a potential in a person to resist himself from halal. So even that wealth and perks that you're getting, even that also it creates a potential to restrict from that haram recognition that you're desiring, that you're so glamorous for. Even that now, that sabr, it allows a person to prevail. So وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Allah Ta'ala goes on further to say, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. That this is difficult. That this is difficult on a person, except for that person who humbly submits himself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, who are those people that humbly submit themselves? أَلَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those people that know that they're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, sometimes we wonder why so much iman and yaqeen is spoken about. The different bayans we're hearing about iman and yaqeen. This is the reason being, because this makes everything after that easy. It becomes easy for that person who أَلَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That he's going to meet to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that person, it's very, very easy for now for him to bring the sabr in his life, to bring the salah in his life, to bring that khushu that we discussed about in today's hadith, to bring that khushu in his life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of bringing salah in our lives together with the requisites of salah, taking into consideration the timings of salah, the postures of salah, the mindset that one should have in salah. And so beautifully this qaida will continue. Allah Pak will make this means a means of all a person's minor sins being forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of amal. Today, as we know, is Friday. We should try and come early for the Jumu'ah Salah. Try and read Surah Kahf. try and increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should capitalize in the time between Asr and Maghrib. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.